Welcome to Mind Matters Matter, the podcast with Helen and Hadley. This is a podcast about raising awareness of mental illness, breaking free from stigma, and fighting for better care. Please join us as we explore these topics with a different guest each week. You can find out more about us on our website at www.notdefeated.net, where you will also find the show notes with more information about each of our guests and links to our social media pages. If you have any suggestions for topics or guests for future shows for us, then please also contact us through our website, as we would love to hear from you.
Today's guest is Ellen Prendergar. Ellen is the CEO of the Mental Health Association of Ulster County in Kingston, New York. We speak about suicide prevention, and she offers a lot of information that I found very informative, and I hope you do too. We jump right into the interview with Ellen explaining to us about the SPEAK program. So here's the interview.
County Mental Health has had what we call a SPEAK committee around suicide prevention activities for several years now. So we've built a system where we're hoping that we can reach out to everybody in the community to make them aware about suicide, be more suicide alert, and also to create a suicide safer community. So we do that in a number of different ways. Mm-hmm. I think first of all, we want to make sure that we give out a number, an 800 number, to anybody who might be listening to this podcast, who might currently right now have thoughts of suicide, or have someone they care about have thoughts of suicide. Mm-hmm. So I want to start out with that number.
Sure.
It's 1-800-273-TALK. T-A-L-K. That's an important number. It's a 24-hour hotline for suicide prevention. So I want to make sure anyone can call that. We also have local resources through Family of Woodstock also, that have a hotline in Ulster County. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure people have that. When we talk about being suicide alert, mm-hmm. and helping and making us a suicide safer community, what is important for all of us, I think, it's to realize that someone thinking about, it could be any of us, any one of us could at some point in our life, because of the circumstances that are going on, the things that are going on in our life, may start thinking about suicide. It's part of our human condition. It's been around as long as human beings have been around. So what our efforts are is not to go out and say to people, stop thinking about suicide, right? What our efforts are is, if you're in a situation where thoughts of suicide are coming up, we want to help you so that your thoughts don't go to actions, so that, you know, people can realize that there are times when that may come up. There's a lot of stigma around suicide, and often when that comes up, people themselves don't know how to deal with it, and then people around them can sense that something's going on. But they don't really want to deal with it because there's so much stigma. And how difficult it must be to think that your loved one might want to think about dying, right? So it's a very difficult subject. But we believe if we help people to become suicide alert, there are ways that they can reach out to help themselves or to help somebody that they love in order to keep their thoughts of suicide from going to actions. So would you like me to talk a little bit about what I mean when I say that?
Yeah, yes.
Most people have heard the term warning signs, mm-hmm. right? What are the warning signs that someone might be thinking about suicide? What I like to talk about is to switch that a little bit from warning signs to invitations. Oh, because that's nice. In our culture right now, again, we have a lot of stigma around having thoughts of suicide. So people can't tell us directly, hey, Hadley, if I came up to you this morning and said to you, things have been going really difficult for me, I feel all alone, nobody loves me, I'm thinking about killing myself, would you help me? What would your answer be?
I think it would be, Ellen, I'm really sorry that you're feeling that way. What can I do to help you?
Yeah, you would help me. If I was able, if I came up to you directly and told you that,
yeah,
I believe that most people would want to be able to help somebody.
Sure.
Right? But because of stigma and discrimination, those conversations don't happen that way.
Exactly.
Okay? They happen in different ways. Mm-hmm. And we like to change the word from warning signs to invitations, because person wants you to respond? Because somebody sends you an invitation, Hadley. What are they expecting?
A response.
Right. So we like to say that when people are struggling around suicide, even though they can't tell you directly, they really do want your help. Mm-hmm. So they're sending you out these invitations, okay? Mm-hmm. And so the way we like to think about invitations is they're usually in four different areas. What can you see in a person? What you can hear the person talking about? What you can sense about a person? And then also what's going on in the person's life that might clue you in, that it might be an invitation to ask about suicide. And if you see these things, the important thing is to say, listen, I'm noticing all these things. Does it have something to do with suicide? And we all need to get comfortable enough to be able to say, does it have anything to do with the suicide? Because most people want someone to ask them, mm-hmm. because they haven't had an opportunity to do it themselves, to be able to tell somebody. So you could see something, you could see change, you could see the way that person appears. Do they appear differently? Do you see that they're acting recklessly? I always say, like, if you have a friend who's, you have always considered being a very safe driver, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden has 3 speeding tickets in a very short time, mm-hmm. it's kind of reckless behavior. You could kind of see that. Mm-hmm. You could see how they're changing. Change is a big issue to be alert to. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of trainings. We have some trainings which I can talk about where we can help anybody in the community to be suicide alert. But in those trainings, I hear stories for families. So people have to be open to seeing changes, even if we think they're good changes. I remember one family saying they had a family member who was incredibly irresponsible with money. And then all of a sudden, the person started getting very conscientious about their money. So what do you think the family's response was?
Oh, that they're doing good.
They're doing good.
Something clicked.
Something clicked. 6 months later, the person died by suicide. So change is important, and we have to think about changes in how you see a person, not just what we consider negative changes,
right.
but also some positive changes that really seem out of the ordinary for that person. Mm-hmm. So you could see that. You could hear people talk about feeling alone, feeling worthless, nobody loves me, I have no way out. You can hear people starting to talk. You want to pick up on some of those feelings that, and alone is a big piece of it.
Mm-hmm. They're, you know, they feel very isolated.
Feel very isolated.
And then it's hard for them to speak out. What right. about also people that pull back, like they stop communicating?
Correct. Withdrawal, mm-hmm. you can see that. Mm-hmm. Withdrawing is also something you can see. But you also have to think about, if a person is usually like that,
right.
it's not a change. But if you had somebody who's usually is kind of takes care of their own things, you know, kind of is, you know, makes their own plans, doesn't need a lot of social activity. If all of a sudden they're looking for a lot of that, that's a change for that person.
Right, right, exactly. It's the context of
right. But most people withdraw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people you'll see, because most of us are social. Mm-hmm. You know, we're lucky enough to have family members and coworkers and friends around us. Mm-hmm. A lot of us would, you could see us withdrawn.
Yeah.
Right.
So and when somebody withdraws, what is the action? Or did you want to get into that later?
No, the action is that you're just picking up the withdrawn.
No, but yeah, do you, because some people, I had a friend that withdrew and it seemed like no matter if I called, you know, text, it didn't, they weren't responding.
Correct. So I think what you need to, not need, what could be helpful for that person is that you could hopefully get them to connect. Mm-hmm. Or you could say text, sometimes when people are withdrawing, they are thinking about suicide. Are you thinking about suicide?
And ask that.
And just yeah. ask it directly and openly. And mm-hmm. there's one thing that a person can get out of this podcast that we're doing is to know that openly and directly talking about suicide is a key to preventing it.
Amazing. So it's something so simple, but because of the stigma around it
right.
and fear, I think
Absolutely.
People are afraid to talk about it.
And what are they afraid? What do you think the fear has to do with it?
I think it's probably one that the fear of death, and then the other one is maybe their own anxieties around.
Exactly. They're afraid someone's going to say yes, and I'm not going to know what to do about it.
Exactly. Right. Right, yeah.
But what I want to tell people, though, if we can pick up these invitations, mm-hmm. you're seeing someone's withdrawing, they're talking about being alone, you really sense, I mean, sometimes you can sense desperation, mm-hmm. and you can also know that they're going through a lot of losses or, you know, changes.
Yeah.
You see all those things. If you can say to the person, listen, I noticed that you're withdrawn, and I also noticed that you just broke up with a person that was very important to you in your life, mm-hmm. And that, you know, and that you're feeling really alone and that there's nobody out there to care for you. Sometimes when people are going through all those things, they start thinking about suicide. Are you thinking about suicide? Mm-hmm. What, you know, asking the question. Most people, if it has nothing to do with suicide, will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is, it is the one chance a person can say, yes, I am thinking about suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And most people who are thinking about suicide want help. That's why we have the phones on the bridges, for example. Because
mm-hmm.
if you think about, well, why do we have phones on the bridges? Because if you really looked at it, the person who would be on the bridge has already thought about dying, has already come up with a plan, has already kind of started putting that plan in place because they took most likely drove to the bridge, started walking on the bridge, and they're getting very close to taking action. Why do we have a phone there? Because we think even to that last second between the thought and the action, there's a part of that person that wants to stay alive. So we want to give them that opportunity to get help even at that last second.
That's wonderful.
And the people who've been courageous enough to speak about why they've attempted suicide, and these are people, obviously, that have survived, many of them will talk about the minute they took the action, they realized they really didn't want to die. And that even people who've had serious suicide attempts, the figure is like 85 to 90% of those people don't die by suicide in their lifetime.
Wow.
So it's important for people to realize that people who are thinking about suicide, most people want to, at least a part of them wants to stay alive. And that's where that's the part we want to connect with.
Yeah.
Of course, people are going to say that but some people, and some people they know personally, will say, well, there was no signs. Okay, I'm not here to tell people that they should have known something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that most people do give out sign. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to talk about with you, and I appreciate it, Hadley, is to let people know that there are ways that we can help them to become suicide alert.
Right.
And
right.
Anything that happened in the past, people should not use our podcast to blame themselves.
Very important.
Because we do trainings. We have a 3-hour training, which is called Safe Talk.
Mm-hmm.
It's available for anyone in the community. And it is a way to teach people how to be suicide alert and then what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, how does a person help somebody get help if they're thinking about suicide. So that's a 3-hour training that myself and Tamara Cooper, who works at Family Woodstock, and there are other trainers are willing to go out into the community and train people. It's kind of, I think it's based on the fact that people would want to be suicide alert. They would want to know if somebody that they cared about would be able to get help if that's what they're thinking about.
Yeah. And then the question is, what do you do when somebody says, yes, I am suicidal?
Yeah, we talk about that, and that's in the training.
Yeah.
And the important thing is to know that if you are able to be with a person, kind of picked up their invitations, ask them if they're thinking about suicide, and they said yes, you kind of give them a chance to talk about why, and then you say, you know, well, we got to keep you safe. And so then part of the training is to give people resources
mm-hmm.
that they can help the person use just to keep themselves safe. Because
mm.
by that time, if you're with a person and you've gone through all that, they either have had the opportunity to now think about the part of themselves that wants to live, and they're going to be motivated to get their own help, or because they've trusted you enough to tell you, they're going to trust you to work with them to get somebody else that can help them. So people are not taught to be therapists.
Right.
People are not taught to that they have to help the person solve their problems. We can help people just to help a person, you know, have the opportunity to tell somebody that they are thinking about suicide so that we can help them to get the help so that thought doesn't go to action.
And isn't that amazing that just by people are so afraid of just hearing, yes, I am suicidal, but the action of just listening to someone can just totally change someone's outlook. Because even if you know that one person cares.
Exactly. Because most people feel alone.
And then you have one person, and you're like, well, now I can't die because this one person, you know, whatever the reasoning is that
Absolutely.
The person thinks. And then they can, most of the time that person, okay, they've said it. Then that almost frees them to either find the help they need or to trust somebody else. And so it's really not a lot of responsibility on the person asking the question.
Right. Yes, it's but right now it's does cause for some courage because of all the stigma around
right.
what you're saying.
Right.
And they say it's even hopeful. Like if you give a person a chance to, you know, you give them a chance to just tell you why, sometimes the person's part of them that wants to live then can start talking too.
Yes.
And then they start connecting back with, even though a few minutes before they really thought about dying, they now have a part of themselves that wants to live coming forward too. So it could, you know, it could save their life.
Right.
Definitely save their life.
And just a simple question, you know.
Just a simple question. Yeah. That's just a simple question. Are you thinking about suicide? Are you thinking about killing yourself? Mm-hmm. Those are the two statements can ask directly about suicide. The thing I want to talk about, because there is a myth. One of the myths is that if you ask that person that question, can you put that thought in their head?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a myth. People are afraid that they could make someone start thinking about suicide by asking the question.
Hmm.
And we talk about that. I'm doing this podcast with you right now, Hadley, right?
Yeah.
I think you should, I don't know. Do you work?
Yes. Yeah.
Do you get a paycheck?
Yeah.
Okay. When do you get paid?
On Fridays.
Okay. This Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you should give me your paycheck this week because I just agreed to do your podcast. Would you give me your paycheck?
I probably would say yes.
But... You would?
Yeah.
Oh my. But this is dead. Most people.
Say no.
Most people would say
no.
No. Most people would say no. There would be no way that I could really. Most people would not.
Yeah.
Not turn over their paycheck to somebody, right?
Right.
I mean, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So we like to say you're not going to talk. You're not going to put that idea in someone's head.
Yeah.
The reverse is if that person is thinking about suicide. Having someone be willing to ask them, based on what they've seen, it gives that person an opportunity to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are relieved to know that somebody is willing to talk to them about it. So, you know, don't worry, you know, people, that's a myth. If
mm-hmm.
people are not that gullible. You're not going to put it in the head. The reverse is, think about that person that's been sending out these invitations because mm-hmm. they can't tell you directly. They want you to ask. Mm. And they want to be able to say yes.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So you also do, is it an assist? Is
yes.
that another training that you
yes.
do?
There's a 3-hour training called Safe Talk,
mm-hmm.
Which teaches people to be suicide alert and to help people get connected to keep safe mm-hmm. resource. There is a two-day training called ASSIST, which stands for Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, which can teach anybody in the community to actually become that keep safe resource that someone can refer them to. So you learn how to do a suicide prevention intervention with the person, and you come up with a plan with that person to keep them safe. So people can go on to that. The best to start with the Safe Talk, and then go on to the ASSIST.
Now, are there national programs?
This one is for suicide prevention.
Yeah.
Well, this one comes from LivingWorks, which is a company out of Canada, and so New York State has kind of highlighted their programs and have trained myself, Tamara Cooper, who works at Family of Woodstock, and several other people throughout the state. They have kind of invested in these programs right now. But yeah, I'm sure there are other programs. There are programs that work with schools around helping to make it a suicide safer school environment.
Well, that's wonderful.
And so yeah, there are other trainings, but right now that's what we're doing locally.
Yeah.
The other emphasis that we've had our SPEAK committee, which is our suicide prevention, education, advocacy, and knowledge about suicide committee. And it is a community-based committee, so people are welcome to become part of that committee, is that we spent time over the last couple of years around the issue of reducing access to lethal means. What we talk about is if a person is thinking about suicide, you want to give them distance from the means which they might use the action. So you want to put time between the thought and access to a way they could do it. Mm-hmm. We started concentrating on gun safety. Mm-hmm. And we did that following a model from New Hampshire. They have a gunshot project out of New Hampshire, which was started after a gun shop owner had sold guns within, I think, a 2-week span, and had some awareness that the guns were used by people to kill themselves.
Oh, gosh.
So they put forth an effort called the Gun Shop Project to talk about reducing access to guns predominantly. We decided to kind of replicate that in Ulster County. It's for gun safety. This is not an anti-gun initiative. We concentrated on guns primarily because it's a lethal method. Mm-hmm. If you're going to use a gun, more than likely you're going to end up dead as opposed to other methods. Mm-hmm. So we chose that. It's not an anti-gun in any way project. But we were able to work in the SPEAK committee, and we had the privilege of having Joe Liuni, who is the president of the Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs in Ulster County. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, Joe, if you're listening, that I got the exact title correctly. And also Chief Joseph Sinagra of the Saugerties Police Department joined our efforts in raising awareness around reducing access to lethal means. So we were able to provide materials to local gun shows, local community projects. So we're getting out the message around gun safety. That's which wonderful. Is what is the primary focus of any responsible gun owner is gun safety.
Right.
So that has been, we feel we've reached a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think we've been increasing our knowledge both from people who are gun owners and gun supporters, and also from the mental health perspective of people who might not necessarily have guns, but how we can definitely work together. The other thing that was interesting, and in this conversation and this with the Sportsmen's Association, we had the Ulster Prevention Council talk about their efforts to remove medications from people's homes that they no longer need, which is also part of a suicide prevention.
Yeah,
And that's been very successful. And most of the police departments in Ulster County, if you have medications that you no longer need, you can discard them, even including narcotics, if you go to the police station.
Okay, that's good to know.
And the Sportsmen's Association said, we're definitely on board there too, because what do people usually do with medications was they would flush them down the toilet, mm-hmm. which would be polluting the waters in our area. And so the sportsmen's clubs are also joined with us in saying this efforts save lives, but it saves lives in many ways. Saves lives from suicide because people do die by overdoses of medication. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there are medications that they find in their you know relatives' homes or mm-hmm. that they've just not been discarded. But they also save our lives because it purifies our water. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of efforts that we can do together to keep people in the best healthy situation as we possibly can.
Now, one other question I have is, if someone is listening to this and happens to be suicidal,
yes.
or has thought about it in the past and the thought comes back to them months later, what is something that they can do?
I think that they should and I would hope that they would reach out for help.
And that's the most important thing.
I think
tell people is to reach out. You're not alone with those thoughts.
Yeah, but you know, in our culture, that's hard to ask for help.
I know. It's
the biggest. It's one of our strengths and our weaknesses at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell people, if you have the courage and the strength to break through that, do, because your life is more important than our culture of not asking for help.
And there
your
are
life
people
is important.
That care. And there's phone numbers. And I will put all the phone numbers in the show notes so people
Great.
Can have them.
Right. And the 800 number is 1-800-273-TALK. And one thing about that national number is that if you are military or veterans, there is an option to talk to somebody that's also a military or a veteran. Because some people would rather talk to a peer mm-hmm. than talk to somebody who's not.
Sure.
We also have the local, which is the Woodstock Family of Woodstock hotline number, and their number is 845-679-2485. And their hotline has been, I think, in existence since maybe started after the original Woodstock in 1969. Yeah. So it's been, a volunteer-based. I mean, they have dedicated staff that work for volunteers, but it's been in existence for, well, it must be close to now 40 years.
Wow. And they're all
over
changed.
40 years.
Yeah.
So it's been very a vital resource in the community.
Yeah.
So I would hope that if someone is thinking about suicide, is that they get the message that they're not alone, that this is something that could happen to anyone, and that there are people in the community that value their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. You're a great person to talk to.
Thank you, Ellen, again for speaking with me today. I hope that you've enjoyed today's show and gained some useful information. You can find all the phone numbers and other links about suicide prevention on the show notes or at www.notdefeated.net. Thank you, and I hope you have a good day.